You may be seated. And if you have your outline tonight, if you look at your introduction with me, in the Epistle of Jude, verses 20 and 21, there on the blank line, verses 20 and 21, the Holy Spirit gives the first four of seven admonitions to the beloved. And we may call it responsibilities of the Christian. But I like their admonitions to the beloved. And we talked about the Lord has used that word several times in the book of Jude. In verse number 3, He uses it. In verse number 17, He uses it. In verse number 20, He uses that wonderful word, beloved, special to Him. Amen. And you are special to God if you're one of His children. So He gives us those first four of seven admonitions to the beloved. We have four blank lines here, and we learned these last week. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, how important it is to build your faith. Listen, if you've got saved, you've got a good foundation, and all God's people said, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But how we build on that foundation is up to us. Amen. And so God tells us to build up ourselves on our most holy faith. And then also in verse 20, second bullet point there, praying in the Holy Ghost. And we talked about how important it is to be led of the Spirit in prayer and how our prayer life ought to be fed and led by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And as I was praying with the men, I remember a saying I heard long ago. It said, I'm not long in prayer, but I'm not long out of prayer. Amen. And that's a good way to be. Just be praying throughout the day as you go through your day. What a precious thing it is to be praying in the Holy Ghost. Something else we talked about last week, keeping yourselves in the love of God. And of course, we know that doesn't mean keeping ourselves saved. Amen. But keeping ourselves in good fellowship with God. Keeping ourselves to the point where God can bless us. Amen. Keep yourselves in the love of God. And then we had the last line there, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And we talked about that, how God is merciful. Number one, He's going to deliver His church from the tribulation hour that is going to come. And literally the wrath of God is going to be poured out on the world. But He's not only given us that mercy, but He's given us the mercy of eternal life. And that is mercy from eternal death. And all God's people said, what we deserve as sinners is to spend eternity in hell, but we serve a merciful God. You want mercy? You want mercy? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. That's mercy. But have everlasting life. Grace and mercy in the same verse there. So going again, introduction here. In the Epistle of Jude, verses 20 and 21, Holy Spirit gives us the first four of seven admonitions to the beloved. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. In this study, we will look at the final three admonitions. Okay, the final three admonitions. They are all concerning our responsibility. I know that's a word that's not very popular today. Responsibilities. A lot of people forsaking their responsibilities. A lot of fathers forsake their responsibilities. Just the day we live in, but it is our responsibility in telling a lost world about the saving power of Jesus Christ. All three of these admonitions deal with our responsibilities. The first one, number one, you find it in verse 22. It says, of some have compassion. So number one, they're having compassion. Having compassion. I like that. Great verse. And of some have compassion, making a difference. This is the most necessary characteristic of the soul winner. And that is having compassion. Because ladies and gentlemen, if we don't have compassion, I'll tell you what will happen. We will become like the Pharisees. By the way, I believe if the Pharisees were alive today, they would probably carry a King James Bible. Because it's the Word of God. They believed in the Word of God. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection. Praise God, I said it last week. The Pharisees believed in tithing. That's all right. They believed a lot of what we believe, but they were literally formed and molded by something called hypocrisy. And it stemmed from an outward appearance, but not having an inward relationship. And God help us. We can get that way. Amen. We can get wearing the right clothes to church and carrying the right Bible and knowing the right words, but knowing in our hearts that our relationship is cold and dark and far from the Lord. Pharisees had no compassion. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to have compassion. And by the way, the best way to keep from being a Pharisee is to have compassion and remember where you came from. Remember where you were heading. Remember what you rightly deserve. And that is eternity separated from God. But they have compassion. The most necessary characteristic of the soul winner. And we have here, duty will fade. Duty will fade. What do you mean by that? Well, it's my duty to try to win souls. Okay, and that's great. And by the way, I appreciate those that come out on Saturday out of duty. I appreciate that. But you know what? Eventually, duty fades. It just becomes rote and going through the motions. But here on our outline, however, compassion keeps the heart warm and crucifies contempt for souls that are marching to hell. You see, ladies and gentlemen, if we're not careful, we'll see the sins and not the sinner that God loves. Listen, I have to tell you in my heart and just sharing my heart with you. To me, homosexuality is repulsive and repugnant. But God died for everyone, didn't He? So if I'm not careful, I can look at that person and say, they're going to get what they deserve. And God knocks on my heart and said, if it wasn't for my grace, you'd get what you deserve too. So have compassion. God wants us to have compassion. Compassion. The Greek word used here is the word eleo, and it is used 31 times in the New Testament. New Testament, and conveys action. Okay? 31 times, and conveys action. We give you the translations here. It's translated in your King James Bible to have mercy on 14 times, obtain mercy 8 times, show mercy twice, have compassion right here in our text, amen, once, have compassion on once, have pity on once, have mercy on once, have mercy upon once, receive mercy once. Sounds like a good word to me, amen? Sounds like a good word. Number one there, to have mercy on. To have mercy on. Meaning of this word, L-E-O. Number two, to help one afflicted or seeking aid. Boy, I like that. You know, every time I think of that, I think of the story that Dr. Livingtree told during our VBS about the Good Samaritan. Remember that story? That parable that Jesus gave in Luke chapter 10 about the man beaten and stripped naked? You know, that's what the devil does to people. He just beats them and strips them of everything, including their dignity, and just leaves them on the highway of life. And you know what God needs is He needs some Good Samaritans to come along. Say, God loves you. Some people with compassion, like that man had. So, to help one afflicted or seeking aid. Number three, to help the afflicted, to bring help to the wretched. Boy, that's a great definition. To bring help to the wretched. You know, William Booth, General William Booth, started the Salvation Army. And he started it to the dregs of society. And his uppity high church didn't like it very much, and they brought him down, Brother Brian, for have church discipline on him. And his sweet little wife was up in the balcony, and they said, are you going to choose us, or are you going to choose those derelicts? And his little wife got up there and said, it's either us or them. His little wife said, say no, William. Say no. And he said, I choose the derelicts. I choose those afflicted people. I choose those wretched people, those publicans and sinners. Amen. And praise God for that. Praise God for that. It means to help the afflicted, to bring help to the wretched. Number four, to experience mercy. And listen, if we've experienced mercy, why wouldn't we want to share that with somebody? Amen. I'll tell you the reason why. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We live in a cold day where, hey, I'm glad I'm saved, and that's about it. That's not enough, ladies and gentlemen. That's not enough. We need to tell others about the Savior if we really believe He exists, and we really believe there's a heaven, and we really believe there's a hell, amen. We need to tell others. We need to have compassion. To have compassion. The apostate has no hope. We've gone through this epistle of apostasy. The apostate has no hope. They have crossed God's deadline in the sand on your outline. They have crossed God's deadline in the sand. Their character, conduct, and creed assault the Word of God and are an affront to God Himself. That's A-F-F-R-O-N-T, an affront, an abomination to God Himself. However, there are those on the second page here, there are those that are simply in error. You know, ladies and gentlemen, you'll meet some folks that just simply been taught wrong. I have. I've met people that have gone to the Church of Rome that have been taught Roman doctrine and just been taught wrong. But they wanted to know the truth. And I'm glad I knocked on their door. Amen? There are others victims of incorrect teaching and those who have honest doubts. Those that have honest doubts. Well, can you really believe the Bible? Can anyone really know that they're saved? Well, let me show you 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have. Yes, you can. You can have a no-so salvation. Amen, Pastor John? We talked about that in prayer time today. On these, we must have compassion if we are to make a difference for the cause of Christ. Hey, our young people that are in public school, you know what will help you to win your friends and bring them to church? Compassion. Having compassion. I think of a young man that my wife and I visited. We were out with the babies and out on Saturday visitation. And the first house we got to, I've got the address. Oh my goodness, that he cussed me out just a little. Amen. But he was about as big as me, and so what are you going to do? You just sit there and take it. But I thought to myself, I used to be you. And the Lord warmed my heart with compassion for that man. And I thought, well, good night. If I don't have compassion on him, who's going to? Nobody. Nobody. Boy, we need to have compassion if we're going to make a difference for the cause of Christ. So number one is having compassion. Number two, pulling them out of the fire, verse 23 tells us. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. The text tells us that, and others save with fear. Others save with fear. The fire mentioned in verse 23 cannot be anything but the fire of hell. Because we pull them out of the fire. What is that fire? We pull them. Listen, when you lead somebody to Christ, when you have compassion on somebody and make a difference, you literally pull a soul out of the fire. You literally save them from an eternity in hell. And the Scriptures describe the fire of hell as, and you can just mark these, we'll go right down, you can look up these Scriptures on your own, everlasting fire. Second line, a furnace of fire. Fire that shall never be quenched. Fire is not quenched. Our verse here in Jude, verse 7, eternal fire. A lake of fire burning with brimstone. The lake of fire. And last bullet point, the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. And listen, I don't care what, forgive me, I don't care what the pontiff of Rome says, and I don't care what Billy Graham says. I care what the Bible says, and the Bible says that hell is full of fire. There's nothing more painful than fire. Nothing. I remember watching the day that those planes hit the towers. And I remember we had, I praise the Lord for this, at our church in Holyoke, we took advantage of that opportunity. God gave us a great opportunity. We had something called the God Bless America Rally. Pastor Tharp headed it up, and we worked hard to try to get folks to come. And we actually got congressmen and state senators there and came. And two New York firefighters told of what happened that day. And both of them were devout, born-again Christians. And one young man says, I was 25 years old and I got to Tower 2. And he said, and I looked up and there were bodies coming out of the sky. Bodies coming and literally hitting the ground right next to me. And I will not be more graphic than that. But he said at that time, he said, what on earth would cause a man or a woman to jump 97 floors, Brother Epperly? And he said one word. Fire. Either get burned or die quickly. The average man says, I'll die quickly. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, there's no end to the fire of hell. There's no end to the fire of hell. Certainly, looking at your outline, the thought of a person spending eternity in hell ought to strike fear in our hearts and move us. Like in Hebrews 11:7, it says Noah moved with fear, didn't he? Amen. He knew God meant business. He said, I'm going to judge the world. I'm going to flood the world. Start building the ark. And Noah moved with fear. Saved his own house. It says they ought to strike fear in our hearts and move us to share our faith with a lost person. We're going to look at the judgment seat of Christ this week in our prophetic series. Sometimes we look at there's more than two judgments, but we look at basically the two end judgments, and that is the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne, and we just say, thank God I'm not going to the great white throne. Let me just tell you something. The judgment seat of Christ is not going to be a picnic, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be a time where we are, if we could say this, spiritually naked in our motives and what we did for the Lord and why we did it. That's right. We are going to be. Everything we do is going to be exposed there. But and 2 Corinthians 5:11, we have the reference there. It says, knowing the terror of the Lord, and it's the same Greek word that's translated fear here, we persuade men, the Bible says. Why? Because there is a hell. We've got to pull them out of the fire. Amen. God give us that responsibility. And by the way, it's not just responsibility, it's a privilege. I hope you leave tracks where you go. I hope folks at where you work know you're a Christian. If not, why not? Listen, they're on their way to hell. We got to do something. We got to do something. Hey, we may not win everybody, but we got to tell people. We got to be that watchman of Ezekiel chapter 33. Or the Bible says we'll have blood on our hands at that judgment seat. Just caught red-handed we'll be. We'll be pulling them out of the fire. Having compassion. Number three, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Verse 23. Hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. One of the great quotations I've ever read is this one I have here on the list. Separation is not isolation, but rather contact without contamination. You know, we talk about being separate. And we should, amen. There's certain places a Christian ought not to go. Certain things a Christian ought not to wear. Certain things a Christian ought not to put in their body or in their ears or in front of their eyes. Amen, 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 amen. Listen, if we're going to win a lost world, you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to get around lost people. We mentioned about fishing. If you go fishing, it doesn't do any good to just throw your hook down on the pavement. You got to find your spot where the fish are. Amen? And you know where lost people are? They're where lost people are. Amen? And so we have here just a little idea, a little thought. The key to a doctor's ability to help a patient is to not be contaminated by the ailment which he is trying to cure. Talking about hating even the garment spotted by the flesh on the last page here, it is extremely important for the doctor And that should say, that is working. That is working in the tuberculosis ward, not to contract tuberculosis. And all God's people said, I know that's very, very basic, but think about it. This will render him ineffective for future service. There are many moral lepers amongst lost people. People that have a moral leprosy, a moral bankruptcy. As one is attempting to witness to those who are in bondage to sin and the devil, one must use extreme caution so as not to become a victim of the very pollutions from which they are trying to save them. Can I say this especially if you're a young Christian, particularly a young Christian with a past history of bondage to a certain sin, you need to be careful of that sin. Because you know what you've got on your bones? You've got something called flesh. And that flesh wants to go back to that sin. Every day you live, your flesh will want to go back to that sin. That's why we need to crucify the flesh. Amen? But we need to be careful. Therefore, while we are to love the sinner, it is essential that we hate their sin and our sin. It is essential that we hate their sin and our sin. I've given you a blank line here. Write down three scriptures with me and go with them with me. Go to Psalm 97, verse 10. The first scripture there, Psalm 97, verse 10. Ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to have compassion and we're going to pull people out of the fire, that last admonition that God gives us is we're going to have to hate sin. You got to hate it. Otherwise, you'll keep coddling it, you'll keep petting it, you'll keep going back to it until you get to the point where you hate it. When I got to the point in my life that I absolutely hated liquor, now I wasn't a fall-down drunk, I was a weekend warrior, somebody to go buy a six-pack or this or that, but until I got to the point where I absolutely hated it, Brother Sammons, I would just keep petting it, just keep living in it. But when I got to the point where I saw what liquor did to people, amen. By the way, if more fundamental preachers would give liquor a black eye, maybe more people wouldn't have liquor in their fridge. But you got to hate it. You got look at Psalm 97:10, a great verse, a black and white verse about sin. What's it say? In verse number 10, Psalm chapter 97, it says, "Ye that love the Lord hate evil." Pretty black and white. If you love the Lord like you should, you'll hate the things He hates. Amen? You'll hate the things He hates. Go over to Proverbs chapter 14. Next line there, so you have a cross-reference, Psalm 97:10. And then Proverbs 14:16. Another great verse. Great verse for you young people. Hope you'll pay attention to this verse. Proverbs chapter 14. Verse 16 says, "A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but a fool rageth and is confident." You know what we need to do with evil? We need to get away. We need to get away. You know, praise God for the example of Joseph. I'm sure that coat that he had was precious to him. But he said, "Better to lose my coat than to lose my integrity and lose my testimony." Amen. And so, hey, listen, we need to hate sin. Psalm 97:10, Proverbs 14:16, go to Romans 12:9. Another verse to write down there on that line. Romans 12:9. We'll be wrapping it up here soon. Romans 12:9. And it says there, "Let love be without dissimulation," or hypocrisy is the word there. "Abhor that which is evil." Abhor it. Make it stink to you. On our outline, if we do not hate sin and see it as exceeding sinful, as Romans 7 says, the good intentions of winning wicked sinners to Christ can be easily sacrificed on the altar of the sins of the flesh that bind so many. So you know what we need to do? Ladies and gentlemen, first of all, we need to be having compassion. I think that's lacking in fundamental churches. We've got all our ducks in a row. We know what we believe and we really believe it. But we need to have compassion. We need to have compassion. We need to have compassion. We need to pull people out of the fire. And if we're going to do those things, we're going to need to hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. We're going to have to hate sin. Oh, I hope that God would use you to win people to Christ. But it starts with compassion. Realizing we have a responsibility to share the good news. Pastor Schott preached in our missions conference, and I love that message of those lepers that were in the city, and they found food, and the whole city was starving, and they said, hey, we do not well to keep this to ourselves. We need to go and let people know, hey, you don't have to starve, you don't have to die. We need to let people know you don't have to die in your sins. There is a Savior, amen. God help us to throw out the lifeline tonight. Lord, we love you.